Good afternoon, everybody. Today is Tuesday, March 12, 2019. It's 2:00 p.m. We're gathered for the legal counsel update in the Board of County Commissioner Conference Room. Our first agenda item, we should note that Commissioners Morgan and Fowler, present Commissioner DeYoung, is out today. Our first item on the agenda is a draft ordinance implementing measures to reduce incidents of truancy from Josephine County schools.
So I'll probably invite Jim to provide some background on how this thing got started, and then we can get into the particulars of how the ordinance would operate.
Right. So really two factors on the front end of this, one being some outreach from the school district to juvenile on these matters of truancy. Is there anything more that can be done, anything that our department can do? Those discussions really have been going on for a couple of years. To be honest, our response has been, really state law allows the district or the school to cite a parent into court if their child is truant. But there's no law, nothing in the ORS saying that you can cite a juvenile. And to be honest, even if they did, we didn't have the staffing or the manpower to deal with it. That changed now that we have our outreach positions in Grants Pass High School and then all three.
The law didn't change, our staffing changed.
Correct. When that happened, we looked at some other counties who had county ordinances for juvenile truancy. Jackson is one of them, and there's a few others around the state. So similar to, I guess, ordinances related to youth or people, usually more of a city thing, riding your bike on the sidewalk, no helmet in the skate park, things like that. Those are usually city ordinances that pertain to juveniles where there can be some action. So then we opened the conversation with legal about is there a way that we can look at a Josephine County ordinance for youth now that we have our positions in the schools, adding another layer really of support to the kids and families that are chronically truant. The idea being they've kind of run the course with whatever the school district can do. The school district at this point is historically, well, we can either haul the parent into court now, or, well, that's what we can do because we've tried everything else with the kid. And so now this would be a layer with our positions embedded in the schools. We can pull the youth and the family in through an ordinance like this, having the authority to do so, but with the idea of working as a barrier removal tool, really more so than a punitive or a... We would really not have the desire to haul the kid into court and fine them or do things like that. This is really a vehicle to get the kid to the table. Maybe someone from the school district, someone from our department, the youth and the family, and go to work on why is the kid truant and how can we get you to school. That's the Reader's Digest version.
This may be the first time Commissioner Fowler's had a chance to really work with this in a public meeting, and so we pause and collect his thoughts of...
One of the reasons it was sort of tabled, we did bring it to a general discussion, but it was we had learned that we would have a new commissioner on board, and we decided, okay, let's wait to get the full support, if possible, of the new board.
We were tempted to make this the first order of business, but then decided that we'd
hold off.
Right? There's other things we can let you get one of the seat first. Before.
So you brought lawsuits?
Sure.
Yeah.
Good cover. So what's the teeth in it?
The teeth in it is that you can be cited in the court, go before the judge, and the judge can, I would suspect, order.
Yeah, the mechanics of it, we did review probably pretty much every truancy ordinance we could find in the state. Weren't satisfied that those were going to be workable. But certainly not for our purposes. And so we went back to the drawing board and looked at what our options were. And the way this ordinance works is as follows. So juvenile court is very fundamentally different from adult court. And that line is drawn at the age of 18, at a person's 18th birthday. So before someone turns 18, by and large, people get into juvenile court because a petition is filed either by the department or the DA's office, as opposed to a charging document. Mm-hmm. See what I'm saying there? It's a petition. Yeah. And then the court then decides whether to take jurisdiction of the youth. That's the terminology that's used in the juvenile system. And it's in relative terms, very squishy in terms of what the sentence is, if you will. Certainly in Oregon, we avoid incarcerating youth as a punitive measure. We have a lot of youth that do wind up incarcerated, but it's not sort of a presumptive sentence as it is with the adults. Typically, youths either go directly into supervision in Jim's department, or they will perhaps go to OIA and they'll wind up in supervision through OIA.
Right, so the school exhausts what it has, then it comes to the court.
Yes.
And sometimes it comes to here.
Yes.
And then it goes past that to OIA.
It would, yes, depending on the nature of the offense. So, all that having been said, the way this ordinance works is like this. So, school and our juvenile department learns that a youth is chronically truant. So, the next time the youth finally shows up, or the next time the contact is made with the youth, then juvenile department will tell the youth that they are going to file a petition. They can warn in all reality, Jim's folks are going to warn the youth and try to work with them even without any court filings, and simply say, and there is this...
Here's the weight of it.
Yes, here's the weight of it. There's this stick that is available to us now through the county. So, but if it does come to a head, then juvenile department would file a petition in the juvenile court asking the court to take jurisdiction of the youth on the basis of truancy, of violating this county ordinance. You hanging on to all this too? Yeah, I figured that. Yeah, it's a little different, but it's the same kind of stuff. But anyway, so the juvenile department would file, asking the court to take jurisdiction of the youth. If and likely when the court did take jurisdiction of the youth, and this would be during a full court proceeding, the youth would be present, Jim's folks would be present, school probably, and the parents. if they do take jurisdiction, then if the youth skips school again, department gets to move the court for contempt. And that could mean, that could mean incarcerative sanctions, I guess.
It could. We don't look at it going that far.
That's going to happen here, and that's really important to emphasize. I probably shouldn't have cut you off, because I want everybody to hear that.
The whole point of us creating the school outreach program was to intervene on the punitive side to youth. We already have dedicated money to intervening to keep them from going down that path. And that's intentional. And most juvenile departments statewide have interventions before, like for instance, an MIP. Before an MIP gets to the point that it's suspending a youth's license, it's probably their third MIP, because the first one's not going through the court. They try to do a diversion. They try to do some other things beforehand. The whole point of our outreach programs in the school, paid for with money out of marijuana taxes, by the way, was to have a level of diversion and intervention to keep the kid from going into the system and getting
their one future. More chance.
Correct. And that means maybe working with families, maybe intervening with other outcomes. So it's to show with our actions our intention to not be punitive with the youth of our community, show that there's an alternate way.
Yeah.
However, there are parents who can't control their youth. And so the parent getting charged with their kid not being in school has no impact on trying to hold the kid accountable to being in school. And this would give us a way, at the school's request, saying, help. This gives us a tool to try to help engage them. But again, the outcome is the intention of compliance, not...
Not punishment. This isn't
the whole process.
It's meant to get Jim's people in the youth's life after a thorough and very formal process that would...
So, any reservations on your part?
No, this is, like I said, reservations in the past were just about manpower. I mean, we didn't have the staff to deal with which was a shame.
We're glad it's over.
Right, exactly. And so now that we have those positions, it makes sense. Yes, keep knocking those trees down.
Well,
okay.
Jim's been trying for a while to get this through. We gave the blessing at the end of last year to move it forward towards us having a hearing. But with the codification process, it needed to be revamped into different form. and
we had to keep thinking about how to make this really work.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Some of the other templates, none of the other templates were going to work for, well.
Correct.
We're doing it the way
the way we want.
Has this been run by the schools yet in the draft form in this one?
Yes.
And they're okay?
I mean, yes. Everything as far as the substance goes, they are, they are any tool that allows us to come alongside them, they're happy with.
And where we are right now with moving forward with this, I mean, essentially, you're looking at a minimum 5 months before an ordinance goes into effect. So we're already in March. That puts us into August. So the sooner it goes to a hearing,
right,
we're already facing the beginning of the school system in September.
But sounds like it could make it and be a tool for next year. Yeah. Okay. I feel caught up.
Anything to add?
No, that covers it.
Okay.
Yeah,
thank you.
That's where we are.
Okay.
Sounds good. Let's go.
So, if you don't have any objections,
no,
we're ready to move forward to getting it scheduled for an ordinance first reading.
Yeah, will do.
But you have to be there.
Yes.
Any ideas when you might want that to? It doesn't really need newspaper notice, so. It doesn't need a 10-day
notice.
I'm not here next Wednesday because I'm at the Oregon Emergency Management Conference in.
And Bennett. I'm not either.
Okay, so that
I
we
can. I believe you're following on the calendar that matters is at work, and so maybe we can coordinate that.
Okay, let's do it. Know then.
Pretty
okay.
Sure 2 Wednesdays from now works.
Like 27th or something?
Yes.
I'll put that down until you let me know.
Okay.
Tentatively. Okay, we'll advance to a first reading.
Super.
Thank you for getting it in the right format.
I appreciate it. Thank you.
You bet. Yeah. Take care.
There was a lot of research that went into this, but we feel confident in this. When you have something significant like this on the line, yeah.
So it does look like the 27th is the first Wednesday that Jim and I broke you there.
You're free to go if you want.
All right, okay. So next on our agenda is limited power of attorney for property at 255 Sugar Pine.
This one they have been moving in my absence. So I think
this happened yesterday. Mr. Eric De Savoia, who's the person that we would be giving power of attorney to, currently has a contract. I think your packet had all the stuff that he submitted.
Well, it's fairly thick.
Yeah, it's just his what he submitted to planning for a permit. And he actually submitted this a while back, like in December. But we're working with planning right now to give them a list of all of the folks that are under contract with the county, the properties purchased during the auction.
Development of property that's on a contract for purchase requires county approval.
Got it. So he
Board of Commissioners approval.
Purchased under a contract the property, but hasn't finished paying off the contract yet. So thus, it's not officially his.
Yes.
But he's wanting to move forward.
Yes. And
when is he due to have it paid off?
Oh, I don't remember. Well, the contract is part of that packet. The contract was given to planning, but they were trying
There's
to fix that
There's a problem with
now.
One of the one of the forms in here.
What forms?
It's going to be the Wildfire Article 76 Certification of Fire Protection Service. He submitted that Rural Metro is his fire protection service for a property that's in the Illinois Valley.
Oh, no, his property is not in the Illinois Valley. It's out in Merlin.
Okay.
He lives, right? I think that's his
So I'm getting
address.
Them mixed up between...
It's his mailing address, that might.
So on one form, he has Sugar Pine and Cave Junction, Oregon listed as his mailing address. And another, he has Sugar Pine in Merlin.
It's in Merlin. Frankly, I didn't really look at any of his permitting stuff except to see what is it that he's applying for.
Okay, so he has a P.O. box in Cave Junction, but he bought a property in Merlin.
Mm-hmm. That he's currently paying on. All he wants to do is cite a mobile home.
I was just looking at that you can't have fire protection from Rural Metro in Illinois Valley or vice versa.
All of those papers that he submitted to the planning department, then they're going to go through their procedure to to give him a permit or not. This is the piece.
Right.
And we're probably, right now we have 8 or 9 contracts, I think, out. And so probably most of them are on lands that are not, there's no development on it. And so they know under contract that they're supposed to be letting us know.
There's yet another form that's not related to the property in there.
Yeah.
Or is it?
We have a kind of a larger point that we're...
Okay, sorry.
Yeah.
The forms are just... We're just...
Planning's going to be
to
there.
Show you that he did file stuff with planning. Planning's taking care of all of that. So if he filed the wrong forms, if he did anything wrong with those...
Okay, so this isn't what we're approving. We're just giving them permission to work with planning.
You're giving him permission to file what he already filed.
Yes. And again, we want to draw that distinction. The contract requires board approval as opposed to county approval.
Mm-hmm.
And so... This is how it ideally he wouldn't have filled out the paperwork until he had board approval.
Got it.
Planning in the office caught it, and so now we're just making it right. If you want.
We're fixing it.
Yeah, you're
fixing
it.
We have an opportunity.
You're giving a list of all the folks to planning so that when they come in again, planning will know to ask for one of these. Because that was, that didn't happen.
Yeah.
Because they don't have to show deed?
Yeah.
I don't know what you'd have to ask planning what all happened on their end.
I know the planning liaison. Maybe he could. How would planning know to ask for one of these?
They will know now.
Josephine County property.
Okay.
It comes up as Josephine County.
Yeah.
So.
We thought that was all in place, and we now are pretty sure that it is.
Okay. Will be once I send him the list, but.
Yes. Okay, got it.
So, we're using this to fix the future as well.
This instance,
where we've figured out what went wrong.
And we're fixing it.
Yes.
But then you're also going to line out the planning department.
You may end up with more for different parcels of property.
Which is how it's supposed to work.
I understand.
So I think we were hoping that you might take an action on this today.
I would like to, but... Is it 255?
Sugar Pine?
Yeah.
Sound right?
Yeah.
Don't we sign 2 originals, I guess? Usually?
So is it... Okay, let me try that again. So the address listed on the form that you want us to sign says Grants Pass versus Merlin.
Okay.
So on that front page, that address...
Is it supposed to be Merlin?
It should be Merlin 97532-9796.
There it is. Otherwise, should we put it in the signature file?
Do we need a motion?
Yes.
So I would accept a motion for the BCC to give limited power of attorney for land use and development permits relating to county-owned real property at 255 Sugar Pine Road, Merlin, Oregon, 97532.
So moved.
And I would second that. Any further discussion?
No.
All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Motion carries 2-0.
Great.
We'll get that signed.
Cool.
Sorry, I noticed addresses that...
So it'll need 2 originals.
No? Oh. Well, are you going to make the change and put this in your file?
Oh, I did make the change. Oh, I have to type it?
Yeah.
Okay, I'll bring it back. Done.
Thanks.
All right.
Excellent work on that, by the way. I want to emphasize.
Okay.
Thank you for...
My apologies. I thought we were looking through this whole packet, so I'm like, wait a second. How come it said Cape Junction, and now it says Merlin, and it's rural metro, or is it a Cape Junction?
Yeah, that's planning. They're going to take care of all that. You'll probably never see this again.
No problem.
So,
well, hopefully he will get the contract fulfilled, and the next thing we see is the deed transfer.
We have every reason to think that he will.
Yes.
And if somebody jinxed it,
you... I know.
All right. Is there any other items that should come before... Legal or the commissioners?
No, not that I have.
Okay, then we are going to enter into executive session approve, let's see, our agenda items are going to be for a recommendation regarding request for proposals for county website redesign under ORS 192660F. Item 4B, county potential purchase of real property, ORS 192660-2E. And 4C is State of Oregon PUC versus Josephine County and Pacific Corps, 18CB 54501 under ORS 192660-2H. Approved representatives of the news media and designated staff shall be allowed to attend the executive session. All other members of the audience are asked to leave the room. Approved representatives of the news media are specifically directed not to report on or otherwise disclose any of the deliberations or anything said about these subjects during the executive session, except to state the general subject of the session as previously announced. No decision may be made in executive session. At the end of executive session, we'll return to open session and welcome the audience back into the room. The recorder and our entering into executive session will begin at 2:21 with the recorder being turned off. It is 3:10 p.m. We are back in general session. As a follow-up to the items for a recommendation request for proposal for county website redesign, we received the recommendation from staff on that report, and we'll be following up with an item later in the agenda. Item 4B is county potential purchase of real property. We gave direction for staff to continue negotiations. And item 4C, State of Oregon PUC and Josephine County Pacific Corps, we received an update, and legal is going to continue negotiations.
Stay engaged with the parties,
yes. Does that seem fair?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so we're going to move on to item 5, which is selection of a contractor for county website redesign. And I would entertain a motion for for John to be authorized to send a notice of intent of award of contract to the recommended group.
Contractor. Yeah, so moved.
And I'll second that. Any further discussion?
No.
John, I would like to say thank you. You have done an utmost job in this process, and I'm certainly glad to have you on board in that manner. So, with that, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Motion carries 2-0.
Great.
Thank you very much.
Thanks again.
Any items, additional items from commissioners?
No, ma'am.
I have one. We received an email earlier today. No, yesterday, my apologies. Yesterday afternoon from the League of Oregon Cities. They are hosting a local government spring conference on April 12th in Ashland and inviting counties and special districts to attend as well as cities. April 12th is a Friday.
Subject matter?
I printed out the 5-page agenda for the 2-day conference, and I will have that given to you so you can come back and let us know.
So it might have a broad.
There is a $200 cost per attendee. Let's see. It's 154 LOC members. It's 200 for government employees, and then 400 for non-members, non-government employees. Register before March 22nd. So there is a time frame of when to register by. Billy Williams, U.S. attorney, that has kind of been the marijuana forefront, is the keynote. And
right.
So I wanted to make sure that we bring it up. We can follow up probably Thursday. Are you here Thursday?
I am.
Okay. I couldn't remember which Thursday you said you couldn't be.
There's no meeting that morning, or it's been taken off my schedule.
For this Thursday?
Yep, because I'm going to that 4th of July. So, yes, this Thursday, I would be, that'd be a 9 a.m.
Our admin meeting, yeah.
Yep, I will not be there. Thank you for asking further.
So, maybe let staff know if you want to register. Based on the agenda I printed out,
okay. And
you can decide. But I wanted to at least bring it to your attention because they say it's the first time ever that League of Oregon Cities is hosting a one-day conference in Southern Oregon and that it is open to all local government officials. So, Wally, you'd be included in that. And so we'll make sure you get a copy of the agenda as well.
Thank you.
And
what's the date on that?
April 12th, which is a Friday. Okay. I believe they're going to do a Thursday night reception. We'll get you guys the agenda so that way we can see if anybody wants to get on there, so I just wanted to make sure that. Okay. Let's see, there was one other thing. Let's see. I'm not remembering off the top of my head.
Are you thinking about one of us going? Or?
Yeah, I don't know. Since it's not something that happens every day and it's a statewide conference, topic matter probably appropriate for any one of us to go.
Or all.
Yeah, the day before the
11th. Who's catering? Just kidding.
Well, the reception will be a conflict potentially with our state of the county the night before.
Oh, yeah.
But the conference itself. So, anyhow, I don't have an agenda. I just saw that it came up yesterday and wanted to make sure that we brought it up. So.
Right.
All right. Well, I can't remember if there's anything else. And so, if there's nothing